very quietly. Children are dismissed for Asbury Church Kids, and we want to say thank you to Ashley, who's going to be helping out this morning. So let's give it up for Ashley. Yeah. All right. For everyone else, take your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. So we are in the midst of our series on kingdom building, and I'm convinced that God wants to use our lives to make a difference for Him. And so we've been, kind of coming back to again and again the Great Commission that says this: all authority has been all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Now let me ask you, how many know that there is a part of humanity that sometimes when we get distracted, we can kind of veer off course a little bit? Can I get a witness on this? How many know that everybody has a tendency to drift? Like if you're driving and you stop looking down the road and you start looking to the side, you'll find out you'll start bending in that direction because we begin to move where our eyes are focusing. And it requires great discipline to maintain focus, especially in a world that's filled with distractions, in a world that's filled with so many things calling for our time, our attention. And because of it, we have to be absolutely committed and we have to be intentional about bringing our eyes back again and again to that which Christ has called us to, and that is His Great Commission. And that we have been commissioned to really be a people to influence and impact our world with the authority of Jesus Christ. That Jesus died and rose again in order not only to save our lives, but to begin to change the landscape of the world that we are a part of. And this is what we're doing through this series, is just saying, okay, God, would you help us make sure that our focus stays on focus and on target with what you've called us to? Because again, there's so much that pulls for our time and our attention. And I'm excited because I think this is something that is, what we're talking about is something near and dear to God's heart. And I know that He wants it to be in His people's heart. Not just something we say we do, but something we actually live. Now, as a part of our 50-day series here, the way we're going to conclude it is it's going to be on November 10th. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be having a banquet together. And we're going to be having a kingdom-building banquet on November 10th at 6 o'clock p.m. at our Dryden campus. And I want to encourage you to put it on your calendar and come on out. How many know when Asbury Church gathers to eat, it's always a good evening? And we'd love for you to be a part. And we're just going to kind of celebrate this focus of saying, God, would you help us maintain this commitment to be a kingdom-building kind of people? And so I'd love for you to put that on your calendar. Now, last week, we talked about using our time wisely. And we started by reflecting on the phrase, or starting thinking about the phrase, Rome wasn't built in a day. Because what does it take to build a kingdom? It takes time. Like, you just can't fake it. You just have to. It requires time. And not only does it require time, but it requires attention. And as we kind of talk through this idea today, what I want us to think about is the idea of being present. Now, how many remember at school when they would take roll call or they take attendance and they'd call your name? Now, this is a fun thing in our church. We're learning what people like to be called. So we're learning that Patricia likes to be called Patricia or Patty, right? We're learning that Pastor Dwayne likes to be called Pastor Dwayne. It's just really, he's a really easy guy, right? But it's kind of, but you remember when you're sitting in school and then they call your name and then you would say things like present, here, right? You'd be like going, Pastor Dwayne, here, Patricia, present, right? You do that. But how many know that you can be here and not here at the same time? I remember you showed up to math class, but you really weren't in math class. Or you show up for social studies and you're not really at social studies. Right? Because you can be, we have this amazing capacity as beings to be present, but not present. So let me ask you, help me out this morning. What are some of the things that keep us from being present when we're present? Help me out. What are some things? What are examples of things that keep us from being present when we're present?
Our phones.
How many know that you can be present but not present when you have a phone in your hand? All right, anyone else? What are some things that, yes, well, Elsie?
You can be preoccupied with all the concerns in your life.
You can be preoccupied with concerns in your life. How many of you have some concerns in your life? How many are sitting next to a concern? Yeah, that's what I thought. Beverly's raising her hand. She's like, oh yeah, let me tell you. Pat, what were you saying? Same thing, the concerns, life. How many got a task list? How many got a lot of stuff to do? And sometimes being present, it's hard to be present because you're thinking of what you need to do. Now, as people, and I think this is so important because sometimes we can be present, but not present. Okay, so honest moment, how many have been in church? Not this one, but another church. Where you were present, but not present. The preacher was talking, but you were not present. You were, you know, maybe you were scrolling. Don't raise it. I won't, because I know nobody in this church ever scrolls during a message. I know that. Or nobody plays, you know, Candy Crush or Free Cell or Solitaire. Like, we don't do that. We're like, we're present, right? But the reality is we can be present but not present. This is what I'm convinced of. If we're actually going to build the kingdom, we actually have to be present. Now, this is going to be the big idea we're going to think around this morning. And that's this. Your presence was meant to be a present. I know, how many think that's a little cheesy and corny, right? Your presence was meant to be a present. I'm going to tell you a biblical idea that I think you need to embrace. And that is this: you are a gift of God and a gift from God. You are a gift. You are someone that has been intentionally shaped and formed and called in order to make a difference in the world that you're a part of. You are a gift to someone. And in order for us to be the gift God is calling us to be, we have to learn to be present. And this is important because sometimes we're so distracted. Sometimes we're a little disinterested. Yet God has said, listen, I have made you, I have called you, and I have placed you in order that you might impact your world with my goodness and with my grace. And see, we're all called to build the kingdom. It begins locally. This is why when Pastor Dwayne is talking about, hey, we got trunk or treat, it's like we do some of these things simply because, you know what, we need to be a presence in the community, because how many know that Asbury Church is a present to our community? Can I get a witness on that one? How many know that the church is not a building, but it's a people? Come on, don't shout me down this morning. You're awfully quiet. It must be gray and dreary out. But Asbury Church is not a building, it's the people, and we are a gift to our community. We are a gift to our country. We are a gift to our world through whom God wants to work to bless other people. And so we need to be intentional about kingdom building. And so not only do we have to invest our time, but we have to also invest our attention. We have to learn to be present. All right, so we're going to go to Matthew chapter 14. It's a well-known story. Now, Matthew, as he's writing his gospel, he's writing his account of Jesus, and he's just letting people know, listen, this is the Messiah. This is the promised one. This is the one God has spoken about in order to bring salvation and restoration to a broken world. And so he's been writing about all of this, and so he's going to go through his story. And we're eventually going to get to Matthew chapter 14, and he's going to give us the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Now, this is what we know about followers of Jesus for millennia now. Wherever Jesus is, we like to eat. This is a story. Did you know that the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle outside of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that is mentioned in all four Gospels? And the reason it's mentioned is because it was a moment that changed everything for the followers of Jesus. And so we're going to look at it this morning and just note some important ideas about being present. So let's begin in verses 13 and 14. And it says this, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, the first thing I want to note, just as we kind of begin this passage, is this. In the kingdom, presence matters. Like in the kingdom of God, in God's economy, in God's plan, presence matters. Now here we have at this moment in the ministry of Jesus, you got to understand, his ministry was beginning to grow and there was momentum that was being built. But even as our text begins, it says when Jesus heard what had happened, the thing that had just happened was this, is that John the Baptist was killed. He was beheaded by a capricious king, trying to please not only his crowd, his daughter, but also the crowd. And so he ends up having John the Baptist's head removed. Now, John the Baptist was the cousin of Jesus. He was not only the cousin of Jesus, he was the forerunner. He was the one announcing the kingdom of God. And so when Jesus heard the news, he was quickly overcome, and it says he withdrew privately by a boat to a solitary place. So understand, the news that is coming to him is not just like news in the wind. This is news that just impacts the heart. Have you ever had those moments where you got news of something, and it wasn't just news, but it was something that like took your breath away? This is where Jesus is at, and this is so important for the context of our story. Because the reality is sometimes we experience events that take our breath away, or we receive news that just begins to distract us, and we're going, oh my goodness, what's going on? And that's where Jesus is at. Yet as he's like going across the lake of the Sea of Galilee in the boat, he's withdrawing, he's got his disciples, they're doing the work. And the people hear that Jesus is moving into their area. They start flooding out of the towns and all around. And when the boat lands on the shore, all of a sudden he is surrounded by thousands of people. Now, I don't know about you, but I know me. I'm just like going, guys, I got no time for this. I don't have the energy. I don't have any, like I'm kind of cooked on this one. Yet Jesus doesn't do that. It says that he saw the crowd. He saw a large crowd. And it says, and he had compassion on them. He saw the crowd, and he had compassion. Mark would describe them, this crowd, as they were like sheep without a shepherd. You see, the importance of a shepherd isn't just to lead people to good pasture. It was also to help protect against predators and different things that would come in to ruin and decimate. It was the shepherd who would, when he would see broken or ailing sheep, that he would nurture and care for them. And so when Jesus saw the crowds, he saw a people that were broken a people endangered, a people needing grace. And so he was moved with compassion, and he began to heal them. For Matthew, this is such a huge idea, that Jesus saw the people, and he's just like, you know what? I got to be with them. Now, for Matthew, there's actually really interesting, if you read the whole book, there's kind of like these bookends. We kind of read the end where it says, where Jesus makes this declaration, this all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And he ends with this statement, and surely I am with you always. Everybody say, with you always. He is with you always to the very end of the age. Okay, so that's how Matthew ends the book. You know how he begins the book? He starts talking about who Jesus is and what is and what he's here to accomplish, and we'll find out that he is, you know, he is a descendant of Abraham. He's a descendant of David. But not only that, we'll find out that his name would be Jesus, who would save people from their sins. And then Matthew would write that, hey, this is to fulfill the fact that there was one who was coming that would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Do you want to know what's important to Jesus? His presence with us. His presence with us. John, in the beginning of his gospel, would say this, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he dropped down a little bit further, and he'll say this, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That God's intent and his desire is to be with us. What we have to understand about the kingdom of God is presence matters. That God is with us. Hey, I want to just encourage your hearts this morning. Maybe you had a hard week. Maybe you're facing some of those things that are kind of like distracting and overwhelming task list. Maybe it's some news that you're kind of wrestling with. Maybe you're kind of going through some uncertainty. Maybe you're feeling a little beat up by life. I want you to know that we have a Savior who is with us. And his desire is to heal. His desire is to bring hope. His desire is to help, because he is with us, because presence matters to Jesus. And if it matters to him, it ought to matter to us. The second thing I want to note is this, that as we keep walking through the story, the first is that in the kingdom, presence matters. The second thing is this, is that there is a blessing that Jesus wants to get to people. That there is blessing, there is good that God wants to get to people. And the way he gets it to people is through presence. It says this in verse 15, as evening approached. So Jesus has been working and serving people all day. And as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it is getting late. Send the crowds away. Everybody say, send them away. Hey, have you ever gotten to the part of your day where you're like going, you know what? Guys, it's time to leave. Right? Have you ever had that part where you're like going, okay, last one out, turn out the lights. Right? You're like, I gotta go, I'm done. You're like, you want to send people away. This is the disciples. They're like, Lord, it's getting late. It's getting late. Send the people away. So they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Watch what Jesus replies. They do not need to go away. What does it say next? You give them something to eat. They need to go away. You know, there is something that they need, and for them to get it, hey, just send them away. And Jesus is like going, hey, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. I want you to see in this passage something that Jesus is doing is he's trying to get a blessing and a good to people. And the way he does it is through his disciples' presence. I want you to know your presence matters. And sometimes the way we feel is like, you know, we can be in a place and we want something to change about the place. You ever have moments you're like going, hey, you know, I wish I wasn't in the place that I'm at. Like, I wish I wasn't in the place where I'm at. If I could just send this problem away or maybe if I could just change this circumstance, but I don't really like where I'm at. Jesus would say to us even in that moment, hey, you know what? I know where you're at. And even in the place you're at, there's something that I want to do through you. See, sometimes we look at our lives and say, boy, I wish I was somewhere else. I wish I was in a warmer climate. I won't ask how many here would like to be in a warmer climate. Or a place with a little more sun. Or a few less taxes. Boy, I would like to be in this place or this. And you know, I wish I wasn't dealing with this issue or this issue. I want you to know, Jesus knows exactly where you're at. And he says, you know what? I actually have you where you're at because there's a blessing that I need to get to people. And in order to get it to them, I got to go through you. I'll tell you something I'm so grateful for. God does not waste any part of our life. God is not wasted. He doesn't waste the parts of our life. We'll get to the end of the story and we'll find out that Jesus is like, hey, there are pieces left over because you know the story. And Jesus is like, go pick them up. Go pick them up. And I believe it's John, he says, so that nothing is wasted. And I want you to know, we serve a God who doesn't waste anything. And so even though you might be in a place you don't want to be, God says, don't worry, I'm not going to waste that place, but I'm going to bring blessing to you in order that blessing might flow through you so that you might bring good to others. Because Jesus wants to get blessing to those around us. And the reason why our presence is important is because God wants to do something through us. You see, Jesus cares about people. Broken people, lost people. He cares about us. And he longs to bring good to them. You know, as we saw that already, that he saw the crowds and he had compassion. And one of the things that I think we need to be asking God is, God, would you give us compassion for the people we see around us? God, would you give us compassion for the world that we are a part of? God, would you give us a compassion? And just so you know, compassion isn't just a feeling. Compassion is something that moves us to action. The idea of compassion that is used here is not just an emotion word, it's an action word. And so he gets moved by compassion. And we need to say, God, would you help our hearts be touched with the things that touch yours? You see, if we can begin to see people like Jesus sees people, we'll begin to understand that there's a good that he wants to bring them, and that, you know what, we're a part of God's strategy for reaching people locally, globally, and impacting future generations. He's the one that still looks at us and says, you know what, you give them something to eat. You. He's placed us strategically. So my question is simply this: will you be present in the place that you are in order that you might begin to bring the good that God longs to bring to the people around you. As we keep reading this story, we'll find out, because we're all familiar with the story, that the disciples, they're Jesus is like, hey, you know, you give them something to eat, and the disciples end up replying simply saying, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Everybody say the word only. How many think that's an interesting word in the text? We have only. Now let me ask you, is only a word of scarcity or abundance? Scarcity. Well, this is all we have. I only have 5 loaves, 2 fish. This is only what I have. I have just a little bit. How many of sometimes we diminish what it is that we have? And we think, you know what, how can God do anything through me? Because you know what? I've only got a little bit. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Anybody here ever feel like, boy, I don't have enough knowledge of the Bible? Or, oh my goodness, I don't have enough faith. Oh my goodness, you don't know what a train wreck my life is. And Jesus is like going, hey, you know what, just bring it to me. And it's so important that if we are going to be present, we need to make sure that we don't diminish what is available. See, we wrestle with our hesitations. How can we make a difference? I only have. But what we need to do is we need to learn to yield what we have for His purpose. Bringing what you have to Jesus. Placing what you have in His hands, so that it may be multiplied for His glory and good. You see, never diminish what is available. God can do way more than you imagine through that which you yield to Him. And so I want to just challenge you. Part of being present is recognizing, you know what? I may not have much, but I got something that can make a difference here. My life has been shaped by people who are present. Not always perfect people, flawed people, people with histories. But my life has been touched and changed. Like, I was thinking about this. I had Sunday school teachers whose names I can't remember, who every Sunday would prepare a little lesson, and a bunch of rambunctious little kids would go into a room, and someone would just say, you know what, I'm just going to share the love of Jesus with them. And their presence had an impact on me. I can think about my youth leaders that were present and who put up with a whole lot of teenage Dave. And the goodness and grace, just simply because they weren't perfect people, but they were available people. And the thing we have to understand is that, you know, we have so many reasons why we can't be present and why we can't make a difference. You know, whether it's our time or attention, we don't have enough, you know, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough energy, I don't have enough this, and I don't. Hey, what do you have? Because if you will yield what you have to the Master's hands, He can do something amazing with it. So never diminish what's in your hand. Okay, the last thing I want to note from this passage is that when we begin to do this, when we begin to live presence, when we begin to say, hey, you know what, presence matters in the kingdom, and so, you know, part of it is to be present, to be there when I'm there. But not only that, to recognize that God has you there because there's something He wants to do in you in order that He might do something through you to bless another, to bring good to another. And we can feel inadequate, like, I don't have enough. He says, don't worry, what's in your hand? And we just take what's available and God begins to use it. And when we do, we begin to understand that we are a part of something greater than we imagine. It tells us, as the Matthew continues to record the event. In verse 19, it says, And Jesus directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. And the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. Now, I want you to think again with me real quick. This account shows up in all 4 Gospels, and the question is why? Why does this account show up in all 4 Gospels? Is it because people ate? I think there's a part of it that, yeah, because, you know, eating is pretty cool. But I think the reason that it really shows up is because the disciples recognized in that moment that they were a part of something far bigger. That they watched God do miracles through their hands. Like, it's one thing to hear about the miracles or hear the ways God has touched and changed other lives. To hear about, you know, as we talked about the missionary, the one-legged missionary who went over to China. Or we could talk about heroes of the faith that have done things like Billy Graham or Mother Teresa. Or we can, you know, whoever our heroes are. But for the disciples, it was watching bread multiply in their very hands. Where they just took what they had and they just began to do what Jesus said, and they were present, and they said, you know what, hey, I just want to bless this one, and they began to just pass this bread out, and all of a sudden they recognized that God was doing something bigger in and through their lives than they began to imagine. I want you to know something. The followers of Jesus were never called to sit in seats. Well, let me say that again. They weren't called just to sit in seats. We're actually called to serve. We are called to take that which God has given us and to begin to share it with another, to be present in the situation in order that the love and grace of God might begin to affect and change other people. You are a part of something greater than you imagine. I've come to know this. That when Jesus does something through you, it changes you. When Jesus begins to do something through you, it begins to change you. And my challenge is simply saying, hey, you know what? If we're going to build the kingdom, we need to be present. We need to be present and not just present in the sense that here, but we need to be present because you can be present and not present at the same time. How many know that the church can be in a community but never touch the community? Did you know that there are churches that are closing in communities all across America and nobody notices? Like, I was talking to someone yesterday, and there's a church that's on the brink of closing. And part of the reason why they're closing is because they lost their mission. They became so distracted about all these other things that doing what Jesus has called them to be and do, they haven't been doing. And all of a sudden, the church that's present but not present gets to the place where the doors have to close. Nobody wants that. That is not the destiny, and that is not the future that we've been called to. We've been called to be His presence. And one of the things that we have to do, and this is why I go right back to what I said at the beginning, we have to be careful that we maintain our focus. We've been called to build the kingdom. I want to invite the worship team to come on up because we're going to close. Your presence was meant to be a present. Your presence. A gift of grace. And if we're going to be present, what we need to begin to do is we need to begin to live with purpose. By His grace, Jesus has called us. And He wants to share His grace through our lives. And so we have to be on mission. We have to be a people that are intentional about building the kingdom. I want you to know He has placed us for His purpose to make a difference in our world, in our circles, with what's in our hand. And this is what I'm convinced of. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. To make a difference in your world. And this is what I think the Holy Spirit does. When you seek to be present, when you make a decision, hey, you know what, I'm going to be present where I'm present, the Spirit of God will begin to speak to you, and He'll begin to nudge you, and He'll begin to whisper, hey, there's this person over there that I want you to go talk to. There's this person. There's this challenge. There's this struggle. There's this issue. And I have strategically placed you so that you might bear My grace to that person, because you are a gift to the kingdom. See, I think Jesus says to us, the Spirit of God says to us, hey, you give them something to eat. Not waiting for someone else to do it, but hey, you, why don't you just do something? And this is what I'm praying. I am praying this week that as you go through this week, you're going to bump into situations where the Spirit of God is going to whisper to your heart, hey, you give them something to eat. You go be grace to them. You be My presence. We need to live with purpose. But not only that, we have to love with passion. Just so you know, the word compassion means with passion. Like we need something that'll touch our heart and move our feet. We need to say, God, would you soften our hearts? Would you give us the capacity to love? That we might get off the sidelines, not just be a spectator, but participate in Your kingdom building. Because Your presence was meant to be a present. Again, in the kingdom, presence matters. And there's a blessing that Jesus wants to get to people. Don't diminish what's available, what's in your hand. Surrender it to Jesus and be a part of something greater than you imagine. When it comes to the kingdom of God, will you be present? See, because every day we go through this, we're going through our life, and you may not realize it, but the Spirit of God is calling your name. And sometimes we don't pay attention to it. Sometimes we'll say, present here, but we're not always present. We're always here. And I'm convinced that if we're going to be the church God is calling us to be, we have to say, God, help me be present. To demonstrate Your love, Your kindness, Your goodness, Your life. May we be the people that are demonstrating the goodness of our Savior. May we be the kind of people that are serving those around us with what we have. So So, Father, we just come to you. Lord, I thank you that you're still the God who calls our name. And God, may we be a people who are present. Lord, if we're going to build the kingdom, not only do we need time, but God, we need our attention. We need our focus. We need to be present. And God, I know that there are so many things that are vying for our time and our attention. Lord, we get distracted by the difficulties and pains of life. We get distracted by all that needs to be done. But Lord, would you help us live present? Lord, would you help our hearts be sensitive to your leading, your guiding? And just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, how many would just simply say, God, I need your help to be present. Maybe you're wrestling with stuff and the stuff just seems to be overwhelming. You're saying, God, would you just help me be present even in the midst of my stuff? Even as you were present in the midst of yours. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand? Because I want to pray with you. See those hands. Maybe you're here and you're saying, you know what, I just need God's grace to continue to help me. I need to know He's with me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Because I want to pray with you as well. Lord Jesus, I thank you that it was your promise to be with us always. And God, that means in the easy and in the difficult. Lord, that means on the good days and that means in the bad days. And Lord, I thank you that you are with us. And God, I pray right now for all these who have raised their hands saying, God, I just need a witness that you are with me. Lord, even now in Jesus' name, I ask that you would just begin to encourage hearts. Lord, I pray that you would begin to bring clarity, to bring peace, to whisper hope, to restore joy. Lord, I thank you that you are with us. And God, may we be the people that bear witness to the fact that you are with. Lord, we're asking that you would use our lives. Help us to be present. For your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Worship team is going to lead us in a song. And as they do, if you'd like prayer, specific prayer, I'll be down front. I'll pray with you. And if you see someone come down front, you get to be the presence of God. You can come stand with them. Because, you know, we don't have to deal with this stuff alone. God bless.
Just stand with us as we close with this song. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. And worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Which worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. For you, oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love. love to those around me.
Worthy of every song.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Yes, you are, Lord. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. And worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Yes, we live for you. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. Oh, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and need me in your love to those around me.
All right, so this is how we're going to end. I want you to grab hands of the people next to you. And yeah, mom and son, that's okay. But would you do me a favor just as we get ready to close, because I believe that God wants to work in you and through you. Would you just take a moment and pray blessing over the people you're holding hands with? Would you just begin to just pray goodness upon their life and just say, God, just help them as they go through this week. God knows every need and of every heart in this room. And God wants to use you. So just take a moment. Just begin to pray for them. Just lift your voice. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. Lord, I thank you that you are good. And that, Lord, you're working kindness. You're working goodness, love, and grace. And, Lord, you see these situations and these hearts and your people. Lord, let blessing flow. Lord, let goodness flow. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for how you're using our lives. Lord Jesus, I thank you that, Lord, you are in this place. And God, we speak blessing even now. Lord, to those on our right, on our left, those in front of us, those behind us, Father, we pray that the blessing of Jesus would meet every need even now. Lord, you see the hunger, you see the thirst, you see the hurt. And God, I thank you that you have a provision to satisfy every heart. And God, we release your favor and your goodness even now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you are using us. May we be the people that you've called us to be. May we be your presence in the places you have placed us. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. I want you to know we love you. And we're excited for what God's doing in our lives. He wants to continue to work. As you go, be fully present. May His grace work in you and through you. As you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. Lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in His strength and His might. Hug a few necks on the way out. And have a great week in Him. We'll see you all soon. God bless.